In American law, one thing is settled. Corporations are people.
Corporations are people, my friend. Of course they are.
That's right, my friend. Corporations have rights. A question that has been settled since the early 1800s. Another question is almost settled. Does money equal speech? When money talks in politics, is that speech protected by the First Amendment? That's the issue in a major case before the Supreme Court today. While the 2010 Citizens United case struck down campaign spending limits for corporations, labor unions, and other associations, today's case takes up the same question for individuals. Are limits on contributions for individuals basically a form of government censorship? Well, I may be oversimplifying here, which is why joining us now is Michael Kang, professor at Emory University Law School. Professor, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on.
Is that a remotely accurate frame there of the importance of this case, a collision between money equals speech and corporations or people?
Well, it's certainly a different case than Citizens United, which dealt with a kind of campaign finance activity that we call independent expenditures, basically direct speech, and also by corporations. This case is a little bit different. It deals with individuals, as you said, and it deals with contributions, but a particular type of contribution limit. So normally, when we think of contribution limits, we think of a maximum permissible amount that you're allowed to donate as an individual to a particular candidate or party or PAC. Here, what we're dealing with is a challenge to aggregate contribution limits. So that is, given a certain election cycle, you add up all the contributions that you've made. It can't exceed this aggregate limit, and it's this aggregate limit that's challenged in this case, McCutcheon.
Is the aggregate limit something that applies to most Americans, depending upon how they contribute? And, of course, evidence will be presented to the court today indicating who this applies to. Or is it just billionaires who are going to be affected by this and who would be, in a sense, liberated by this?
Yeah, the aggregate limit really applies to just a small number of people. It looks like probably under 1,000, 1,000 to 2,000 at the most. Estimates vary a little bit, but a pretty small handful of people that the aggregate limit actually affects and cuts off their ability to spend more. But that small group actually spends quite a bit on politics. And when you're talking about very, very wealthy people who are very motivated to spend on politics, they can pour a lot of money into politics. And without the aggregate limit, at least in one of the amicus briefs before the court, they estimate that one individual could give as much as $3.6 million by himself or herself to one party and the party's candidates across the 50 states.
All right. I'm an undergraduate raising my hand in one of your law school classes, and I say, what do the framers have to say on the subject of protecting the freedoms of well-motivated, very rich people to support candidates and to get involved in politics using their wallets?
Right. Campaign finance law from the very beginning and Buckley versus Valeo is really this kind of classic trade-off between the kind of First Amendment freedom to spend money on politics and express yourself politically versus what we often think of kind of equal citizenship and the ability of every citizen under a kind of theory of one person, one vote to affect the system equally in a democracy. And that's basically the tension that's run throughout campaign finance law. Certainly matters here as well. Generally speaking, the courts think of campaign finance activity as First Amendment activity that's protected by the First Amendment, and that's why we have this type of challenge. But what we're seeing is a real shift from the Rehnquist court to the current Roberts court, where the court's really much more skeptical about the government's capacity to regulate individual campaign finance activity and really much more protective of campaign finance activity as free speech that the government shouldn't be able to regulate. And Citizens United was one obvious, famous case where the court struck down longstanding federal regulations of campaign finance activity. And McCutcheon is a chance for the court, again, to strike down contribution limits, which generally courts and certainly the Supreme Court have been very deferential to the government's ability to regulate. So we might see here striking down of contribution limits, which is new. The court generally doesn't do that up until now. And really, in this case, the question is how broad the ruling is going to be, how kind of
Let me ask you on that. It seems to me the momentum from Citizens United makes almost no middle ground here, that they basically have to get rid of the limits. I don't see the logic for anything else. And is somebody going to get shouted down in the court today if they bring up the question of income disparities in the United States being at historic highs for the small number of people who have an enormous amount of wealth?
You're certainly right that I think Citizens United casts a shadow over this case because the court's taken a lot of criticism for that. And I don't think it's crazy to think that the justices are affected by a lot of that public outcry against Citizens United. I think in this case, actually, the contribution limits, I'd expect law professors aren't very good at predicting what the court will do. But I fully expect the aggregate contribution limit to get struck down. The question is how broadly the ruling is going to be and kind of what the sweep of it's going to be for future cases. And here I think arguments in the briefing actually might matter quite a bit. The justices are really going to think about how broad the ruling ought to be. So I think you're going to see a continuation of Citizens United in the sense that regulations probably is going to get struck down. But it's not obvious quite how broad that ruling is going to be and how far they're going to go.
Michael Kang is a professor at Emory University Law School. Thanks so much, sir.
Thanks for having me on.
So that's the Supreme Court, and it's a very, very important case. We'd love to know what you think about it. Should Citizens United be extended, if that is, in fact, what happens here, or limited in some way? And if the Congress won't end the shutdown, the government shutdown, the limits on the debt, we're asking you to give us your best last lines of a theatrical government shutdown movie.
And so, consumed by self-serving emotions, avarice, and greed, they that were once giants among the righteous and good perished in poverty and degradation.
Ah, they all die in the end ending. Yes, that's a great finale from Randy, who called us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Peter wrote us on Facebook, on that cold November day, Falstaff did finally pass away from his goiter left untreated with ACA triumphantly defeated. Little Shakespeare twist there. Tell us your shutdown ending by calling 877-8-MY-TAKE or go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheTakeaway.
A lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.